Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. All the tapes and documentation of the high crimes that led to his resignation, the resignation of President Richard Nixon, are all on record. Now, journalist Tim Weiner draws on the millions of words from the tapes and top secret documents from the Nixon administration that have been released in the past 3 years, some in just the past few months. Weiner says it's clear that many of these tapes and documents, purportedly kept secret to protect America's national security, have been hidden to protect the ex-president from additional disgrace. His new book, One Man Against the World, The Tragedy of Richard Nixon. Tim Weiner is a former national security correspondent for the New York Times. He won the Pulitzer Prize for National Reporting in 1988. He is the author of Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA, which won the National Book Award. It's a great pleasure to welcome Tim Weiner back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Nice to be back.
What was it about the release of this material that got you interested in and wanting to ultimately dig into this and sort of see what was there?
A little more than 2 years ago, I was at the Nixon Presidential Library giving a speech about Nixon's relationship with J. Edgar Hoover. And afterwards, the archivist came up to me and said, "Listen, we know your work. We know you love declassified documents. Have we got something for you? By the end of 2014, everything will be out. All the tapes, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of hours of Nixon tapes that have never been released, and things like top secret classified sections of the daily diaries of Bob Haldeman, his first term chief of staff." And I felt like I was an archaeologist stumbling upon the castle of the lost empire. Once I dug into this material, it made me understand things about Nixon that have been mysteries for 40 years.
So I alluded to it in the introduction, but give us a historical perspective and the reason why these tapes and documents have been kept secret for so long.
All right. Well, Nixon installed the secret taping system in 1971. Its existence was revealed when the Senate Watergate hearings were convened in the summer of 1973. There were about 4,000 hours of tapes. When he left Washington in disgrace after resigning, he took them, and he hung on to them until his death 20 years later. Then there commenced litigation started by a great historian who just died named Stanley Cutler, lovely man actually, saying, "This material belongs to the American people. It belongs in the National Archives. It belongs in the Nixon Presidential Library. You got to release it under the law," which was true. The law was on his side. But it took 20 years to complete that process. So in the end, the cover-up lasted 40 years. It's over now.
So what do you ultimately, and you obviously have written an entire book about this, but and I'm asking you to give us a brief summary, but so what ultimately do you believe was being covered up? What were they trying to keep up from knowing and seeing?
The beginning of the Nixon administration, the Vietnam War, two fronts. One, he instituted the secret bombing of Cambodia. He was using B-52 bombers to bomb the bejesus, to quote him, out of Cambodia, a neutral nation. He was falsifying the military records to make it look like they were bombing in northern South Vietnam or southern North Vietnam. He was fighting the Vietnam War with B-52 bombers abroad. He was fighting it at home with bugs, break-ins, black bag jobs, burglaries against his political enemies, including American ambassadors, members of the National Security Council, reporters, and anybody, including political leaders in this country, who opposed his policies or might oppose him for re-election in 1972. So you could say he was covering up a criminal conspiracy, of which he was the ringleader.
The subtitle of the book is The Tragedy of Richard Nixon. And I guess that what you, in reading the book, the sense of there is a great political, or was a great political mind there that
he
seemed.
He was a genius.
Yeah.
He had engineered the greatest resurrection since Lazarus. He had been defeated by 117,000 votes by JFK in 1960, votes that may well have been stolen. He was reelected by 0.7 tenths of a percent in 1968. He was an absolute genius. And you know who first wrote about this? Hmm. Martin Luther King, of all people. Martin Luther King wrote in 1958, after meeting Nixon for the first time, Nixon has a genius for convincing one that he is sincere. Martin Luther King wrote this in 1958.
Yes.
But if Richard Nixon is not sincere, he is the most dangerous man in America.
Mm.
And he had that genius. And he wanted to change the world. And he was the most dangerous man in America as well, because he was not sincere.
When you're writing a book like this, is it impossible when you're dealing with such a subject to not get psychological of what it is? Because you lay out all the documents of, you know, of why he of the secrets he's keeping. And you have to ask the question, okay, but why was he so secretive?
Nixon detested armchair psychology. And I don't do this. I let him speak for himself. Okay? And what he says speaks multitudes. When you listen to some of these new tapes, it tears your heart out. I mean, here is Nixon in May of 1973. He's just been elected by an 18 million vote landslide. But he knows that the cancer is creeping closer to the Oval Office. He knows that his top aides are going to be indicted. And in I'm exhausted, and it sure sounds like he's drunk, after midnight conversation with his new chief of staff, General Al Haig, he says, and this is 15 months before he resigns, he says, I can't fight this damn battle anymore. I don't have it in me. I just can't fight the damn battle. But he did for 15 months. Drop by drop, the presidential chalice was poisoned, and yet he went on knowing that he was doomed. The tapes that are out, that have just come out,
yes,
are like the fourth act of a five-act Shakespearean tragedy, the one in which the king goes mad. And in the fifth act, the king falls.
Let me just focus in on what you just said, which I find fascinating, which is that he knew that he was doomed. Do you believe that? I mean, there wasn't...
It's on tape. January 1973, before his second inauguration, he is talking to his then chief of staff, Bob Haldeman, and he realizes from Haldeman that his attorney general and campaign manager, John Mitchell, knew of and engineered the Watergate break-in. There was nothing that John Mitchell knew that Richard Nixon didn't know. If this comes out, he is guilty of federal criminal offenses, including wiretapping and obstruction of justice. He's going down, and he knows it. And before his second term begins, he lives with this knowledge. It eats him alive.
So the exterior of what we saw, as you say, in the fighting of it, was almost his defense mechanism, causing more secrecy to protect himself.
I begin this book with a quotation from Nixon's first book called Six Crises, which he wrote after being defeated in the 1960 presidential election. And extraordinarily, he quotes the great French writer Balzac. And he says, Balzac once wrote that politicians are, quote, monsters of self-possession, unquote. Yet while we may show this veneer on the outside, inside, the turmoil becomes almost unbearable. Now that is Nixon in a nutshell. The veneer on the outside, the smiles, the handshakes, and on the inside, the unbearable turmoil.
When you put it in a context of his entire political career, how much in the end do you believe there was a self-realization? As you said, he didn't like the armchair psychology, but how much do you think there was of self-realization of how much he created his own problems?
He knew, and he said that he had given his enemies a sword, and they stuck it in, and they twisted it. And he said, if I had been in their position, I probably would have done the same.
Yeah.
But he also said on the day he resigned, always remember, others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them, and then you destroy yourself. And this is the story of a man destroying himself through hatred, fear, suspicion, mistrust. You can't run a government where only one man knows what the strategies and policies of a nation at war are. He didn't trust the Secretary of Defense. He didn't trust the Secretary of State. He didn't trust the head of the CIA. He didn't trust anyone, including his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger. And when it, you know how they always say, we are a government of laws, not a government of men?
Yes.
Under Nixon, we were a government of one man. And that one man was often out of control, ravaged by insomnia, an insomnia complicated by drinking. And a man who is often not well, who is on the brink of madness.
Let's end with this that you write in the book. Richard Nixon permanently damaged people's respect for the presidency, and now his legacy is all around us. Talk a little bit about that legacy.
Presidents never learn from Nixon's mistakes. President Reagan ran covert wars overseas with clandestine funds, just like Nixon. His top national security aides were all indicted and then pardoned by Bush 41. Bill Clinton was impeached for perjury. Nixon would have been impeached for perjury if he hadn't resigned. Bush 43, his abuses of power dwarfed Nixon's secret prison, torture, unlimited eavesdropping, all policies created and aided and abetted by Dick Cheney, who first came to power under Nixon. And Barack Obama's Justice Department has tormented more reporters and their sources under threat of subpoena in prison than Nixon's ever did. And most of all, Nixon created a new kind of campaign financing, the one where huge suitcases of secret cash are being passed around from hand to hand by 28-year-old aides, money that's been shaken down from people who want to be ambassadors or people who don't want to write a check because they want to make a secret contribution in cash. Now that's how we run elections, with secret cash from corporate magnates, okay? So we need to learn from our mistakes or our democracy is in danger.
Tim Weiner's new book is One Man Against the World, The Tragedy of Richard Nixon. The book is published by Holt. Tim Weiner, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be back on the Roundtable.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.